The following talk was given by Father John Harden's May 5th through 9th, 1999 Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life in Chicago.
Now, meditating on the Lord's Prayer is the most reflected on prayer in not just in Christianity, but in the whole world. It's impossible to understand the Lord's Prayer too well. The fourth tradition reads, "Give us this day our daily bread." What do we acknowledge in this petition? We acknowledge the goodness of God who makes His Son to shine on the good and the bad and send rain, as Scripture tells us, on the just and the unjust. What do we mean by the petition? Give us this day our daily bread. We first of all express our solidarity with the whole human race. In this particular way, for all people, they ourselves with their sufferings and needs. How we need to repeat that. The whole world, in little less measure, is suffering and is in need. Now, living in this world, we're not made for this world. Consequently, logically, we hunger. Hunger for what? Hunger for what we want. The next world can give us. The last petition of the Lord's Prayer is not a temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are all being tempted because we are on earth. That's why we are on earth. We find another word for being tempted. And the secret is not to despair the great danger has been in our world, where that so much of this world's good is to give in, give up. The more we know about the faith, the more we realize we are constantly prone to giving in to temptation. God, of course, never tempts us beyond our strength. But let's be sure, every human being is tempted. And we must have the living Christ allow himself to be tempted. And the one temptation we must especially pray to resist is the temptation to discouragement. For 52 years as a patient, I've assisted many people who are dying. This, I can tell you, is one temptation the devil saves for the end. And the secret is to resist temptations during life. One important observation. Can this grace of final perseverance be merit, last of a man, even a lifetime practice of virtue? Listen, the church tells us no. The grace of final perseverance must be prayed for. It is the fruit, the result, the reward of prayer. It is this grace, especially, we pray for in the Our Father, and ask our Lord, lead us not into temptation. And also the grace we ask Our Lady for, when we say, at the close of the Hail Mary, pray for the sinners now, and especially in the hour of our death. We go on. Human beings have always sought God. It will not surprise you that God revealed himself to mankind, the dawn of salvation history. Wants to respond to his revelation in the covenant drama that engages our heart, which is the root of prayer. As we know, these meditations have uniquely on the subject of prayer. There is one thing we all need. Dare I say it? The holier we are, the closer we are to God, the more we must continue praying, asking God to continue with his mercy. Prayer, we may say, is both a struggle and a triumph. How is prayer a struggle? Because we pray in faith. We believe. How can I say we believe that our prayers will be heard? But we better pray. This is close to the end of our retreat. One thing I strongly, very strongly recommend to all of you, even myself. Look in your practice of prayer. I will say, pray more frequently, pray more earnestly. None of us is praying enough. But prayer is also a triumph. Why? Because we are sure of our heavenly destiny on one condition, that we have persevered in prayer. At the close of every prayer recited by the church, it will be called the doxology. And the most famous, the most important doxology is addressing God when we say, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." What do these three phrases of God express? They express the first three precepts of the Lord's Prayer. We are to glorify His name. We look forward to His coming. And we have faith in the saving power of His will. However, these three, call them phrases, are they different from the three petitions? They differ as heaven differs from earth. The Lord's Prayer, we ask that God may be glorified. We ask that His kingdom may come. We pray that His saving power will be accomplished. But in the doxology, we assume that all these prayers have been fulfilled with Christ's final triumph in a heavenly eternity. Consequently, when our petition be all forward, the mark of praise and thanksgiving will be called the closing doxology. Strange question. What is closing doxology? Praising God. Lord, my Christ, over the prince of this world, I'm going to tell you, I've been a priest for over 50 years. Oh, how much I've learned. One thing I've learned is how active, how demonically active the devil is, especially in his effort to seduce those who are in the grace of God. Don't you dare think that you are safe. Only as safe as God's help is available. The devil, as ruler of this world, that's what the church considers him, attributes to himself the three titles of kingship, of power, and of glory. As we know, these three titles belong by divine right only to God. at the end of time, Christ will overcome the demonic usurper and restore the titles to his Father in all forms. Then, but only then, will the mystery of salvation be completed and finally come will be all in all. Until the end of the world, the devil, I repeat, is phenomenally active. And I can say this, on the living in that world, the devil is phenomenally successful. They are living and he closed the 20th century, you're living on meters in the most demonically powerful world that has ever existed. It's the origin of time. At the end of time, and only then, Christ will overcome the demonic usurper, restore these titles to the God to belong. Only then will the mystery of salvation be completed and God will be all in all. So we ask, how does the devil exercise these three demonic attributes in the world? I know what I'm talking about. I know what's going on in the Catholic Church, a country like the United States. Over the centuries, the devil has penetrated the state where those in civil authority, and how true this is, claim for themselves rights that are in direct conflict with the rights of God. They're living in that century of final president of the United States, actively, openly, and I mean it, worships the evil spirit. Our rulers claim to be kings, the laws and regulations that openly contradict the will of God. Never, not just in my judgment, has the evil spirit made more laws and regulations that openly contradict the laws of God. Thus, the abortion law, what are they? Except a claim to rights in open conviction to the mind and will of God. I know history. I've taught war religions for too many years. In my judgment, never before in human history have there been more openly, arrogantly, demonic laws passed by one major state after another as there have been in the closing years of the second millennium. There are now rulers in the world, including, I dare add, in the United States, men who claim to have power over their citizens and deprive the citizens, the people, give them all elementary rights of the natural law. the power, spirit of resolve, embodied, valid, sacramental, consummated miracles. And these laws sadly approved by not a few bishops. Dear God, what are we doing? Going to be in a world which claims rights over the living human beings, whose human life begins at conception, to regulate births by contraception. The word is just a common word in the English language. These laws are contrary to the most basic teachings of the true faith. I've seen a man, I dare say, either all of you or most of you are younger than the speaker. They're living in an age, and you come to the close of the 20th century. There are laws throughout the world openly contradict most fundamental laws of a human being to the right to life. No one has the figures for the number of regulated contraceptions in a given year. The lowest figure, period, is 300 million. Oh, how far we have departed from the laws of God. These laws of God demand recognition by human beings in a world which has, as we see, navigated in itself laws which are totally contrary to the will of God. Under God, no abortion or contraceptive law can exist. Finally, we ask, what is the meaning of amen at the close of the Lord's Prayer? As I'm sure you know, it means, so be it. Why do we say the amen in closing the altar? The amen, we may say, is the counter-signature. Everything that God has taught us in the Lord's Prayer is the acceptance by faith, testimony, we believe with our minds, is also our agreement in love, conform our wills to what Christ in the Our Father tells us to pray for. With this, we close the Lord's Prayer. But as we know, although the Lord's Prayer is the most important prayer we can recite. Why? Because it was formulated by Christ Himself. However, there are other prayers we also are to say. And there are two prayers I would like to cover before we close this retreat. They are the Hail Mary and the Glory Be to the Father. The Hail Mary has been offered. Was first recited by a lady. First, let us recite the Hail Mary. And you may know there are two parts to the Hail Mary. On one is the Hail Mary, on two is the Holy Mary. In the Hail Mary we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the Holy Mary, claiming to be saved by the Church under divine inspiration. Yeah. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Let me recite the Hail Mary. Whom are we imitating? Imitating the words of Our Lady. Hail Mary, we address her by her name. Over the centuries, volumes have been written in commentary on the Hail Mary. Over the years, I think I've published at least 20 commentaries on the Hail Mary. We address Our Lady as Mary, a name we know was given to her by God Himself. Hail Mary. Mary, of course, is the title of the Mother of God. Hail Mary, full of grace. How we need to believe what we say to address Our Lady as full of grace. No human being, except of course Christ Himself, was as filled with grace as was Mary. Let me address Our Lady as full of grace. We are saying that Mary was the most blessed, the most gifted of all human beings. Jesus Christ, absolutely speaking, was no mere human being. He was God in human flesh. Hail Mary, full of grace. Our Lady was the most gracious human being ever lived. always accepting our divine Son. And yes, Mary is full of grace. For in effect, addressing her as most gifted human being that God created. Always we repeat, accept for her divine Son. Hail Mary, full of grace. Everything precious that we possess is a grace from God.